Up first this afternoon, though, it's What's That Time of the Month? We welcome back to the studio from the Versant Power Astronomy Center and the Jordan Planetarium at the University of Maine, our friend Sean Latch. Welcome, Sean.
Good to be back.
And looking so good with my new eye.
I was going to say, I was afraid I would probably scare you if you can actually see me now.
Oh, no, no. It pops. It pops here. Well, we're back. It's hard to believe. We were saying before we came on that it's going to be December in a few days.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. Friday is December already. It's hard to believe. And we're moving closer and closer. The sun is setting earlier and earlier as we move towards the winter solstice, which is going to be on the 21st, 22nd universal time, but about 10:27 p.m. on the 21st of December local time here in Maine is when winter will officially begin.
And then the days start getting longer.
And then the days start getting longer, We start to get a few more moments of sunshine, and the days will start to get longer and longer then.
We forget what it's like here, because at 5:22 last night, it was jet black when I left the university.
Oh, yeah.
My brother, I'm talking to my brother on the phone, who lives in Connecticut now, not Montana, and he goes, he says, I'm going to Costco, but the sun's in my eyes. Hang on a minute. The sun was still setting in at 5:22. People forget how far east we are.
Yeah, we should technically be in Atlantic time zone. I'm always telling folks, but no one wants to do that.
I'm the only other one in the room who agrees with you.
I know. I always get pushback on that. But oh, well, what can you do?
Well, I have to think December must be one of your very busiest months of the year.
It varies. I mean, we do get very busy typically, before the holiday season. Folks come in and want to get a few astronomical gifts for those folks who, have that. On their gift list, if you will. But then, of course, we have, our holiday programming, which folks like, and we have some new shows coming up starting on Friday, of course. We have the Arctic, our last great natural refuge, I can say that. But it takes a look at, of course, a variety of different wildlife, everything from caribou to bears to wolves to golden eagles, basically all that really spectacular wildlife up in that northern area of the world, which is really, suffering because of climate change. But it's a really great program about those animals and the importance of those animals. And of course, it ties into, of course, our work at the, University of Maine with the Climate Change Institute, looking at the polar regions. In fact, Seth Campbell runs this program called the JURP. It's the Juneau Research Program, Juneau, Alaska Research Program, where they go out and study glaciers and things like that, looking at a variety of different ways that, the Arctic is being impacted and how that's sort of a bellwether for the rest of the world. So very interesting. So I hope you can join us for that. That's going to run, of course, through the 22nd. And then we do close down that sort of 23rd through typically around January 2nd for the holiday season. All the students are away and I'm sort of there all by myself. So I kind of have to wait to do programs still after that. But then our holiday programming, of course, we typically have a couple different holiday programs on Sunday afternoon. So this month, it's typically a shorter month because we only have the three Sundays before the season. So, but the Christmas Star, which takes a look at what the Christmas Star could have been from a variety of scientific perspectives and historical perspectives. And of course, leaves folks knowing that regardless of what it was, it really, the message of peace on earth and goodwill to all holds true today. And I think we need a little bit of that given some of the things that have been going on in the world currently. Let It Snow is our holiday music show, which features a whole variety of music, everything from Frosty the Snowman to Rocking Around the Christmas Tree to Winter Wonderland to some of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra stuff. So a really great program for the entire family and fun. We have a special music program, Meditations on Perihelion, on the 16th. Tom Luther, who is a local artist who does sort of ambient and space music, will be coming in and performing that live in the dome, set to some special visuals. So lots going on this month. And we're gearing up. We even have a special free Minecraft camp coming up. Actually, it starts Monday. It's basically 4 days. It's an after-school camp. From 3 to 6 p.m. On the 4th, 5th, 11th, and 12th, so the next two Mondays and Tuesdays. It is free, but you do need to register in advance because there's limited seats there. But basically, folks who like Minecraft, it's geared for middle school audiences to use that to learn a little bit about space, particularly about going to Mars and about exoplanets and what it might be like to colonize another world in some ways, in a good way. Colonization, hopefully. That's a fun program too. So a lot going on, and we've got teacher workshops for the eclipse. We have one coming up on the 7th of December for through the Maine math and science lines. We're doing some teacher workshops to get teachers ready for the big total solar eclipse coming up in April.
4 months away now.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I know. It's time is flying and gearing up for that big event. So yeah, lots going on.
And also too, with the holiday season, if you've got somebody in the family who is interested in exploring space, some great gifts, even gift cards that are available.
Yeah, yeah. We have gift certificates. Of course, we have a variety of books. We just got in some of the observers calendars and sky almanacs for 2024. So, and then we have a whole variety of fun, you know, astronomy and space themed toys as well for the younger children too.
Love it. Sean Latch with us here on Downtown. So what's coming up in the skies in the month of December? What can we look for?
Yeah, well, right now, of course, we're just starting, you know, Orion is peeking back in, and that's one of the things that really signals that winter is getting here when we see him sort of creeping back in the evening sky. But of course, right now, Jupiter is, you know, really just blazingly bright in the southeast at sunset, Saturn over in the south. And so they'll be up for the whole evening. Venus is in our morning sky, and it's going to be joined by Mercury towards the end of the month as well. And we have the Gemini meteor shower is going to peak on the 15th or so, and so the moon phase will be really good for that. But that's a good annual meteor shower, should have some good meteor activity going on, and one that you can actually see relatively early in the evening, so you don't have to go out like at 2 a.m., you know, that's one that you can kind of see around 10 o'clock at night or so, where it's a little bit easier to get out there and see that. So definitely something to check out. Also, the next couple nights, you might want to be watching for aurora. There was a big solar outburst yesterday, and there's predictions that it should reach us tomorrow. So hopefully tomorrow night, possibly, you know, Friday night, we might get some auroral activity if the weather cooperates. We'll have to wait and see. I know the weather tomorrow, sort of iffy, they're saying, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, so a couple things to check out.
Oh, nice. And what's out there for planets for us to see?
So as I mentioned, we have Jupiter and Saturn. Right now, Jupiter's really bright. If you have binoculars, you can catch the moons. Io, Ganymede, Callisto, and Europa, they'll look like little pinpoints. Saturn, you do need a telescope about 2 inches. That's going to be in the southeast. And then Venus in the morning sky, really bright. And, you know, you can't miss it because it's the third brightest thing we see after the sun or moon.
I saw, too, that NASA is delaying the launch of, is it the Dragonfly mission?
Yeah, it sounded like they were working on, there's a few kinks to be worked out.
So some funding issues.
Yeah, funding, and then also, of course, just trying to make sure that everything is working properly. So, yeah, occasionally they do have some delays. It sounds like Artemis is still on track for Artemis 2, which should be the first crewed Artemis mission, is still on track for next year, sort of late next year, if all continues to go well. So we'll have to wait and see. And there's been some great stuff from JWST recently.
Oh, yeah.
A great image of the center of the Milky Way showing some interesting new features too. So definitely worth checking out.
And any closer to knowing at least when an announcement might come on the crew for Artemis 2?
So Artemis 2, they have announced the crew. So that one we know the crew for. But then the big one that we're waiting for is Artemis 3,
right,
which is the one that's going to land. And we're still fingers crossed for Jessica Meir. You know, and it sounds like, you know, she should at least at that point have been, you know, she will have given birth by that time, because she, you know, just a little bit before they announced Artemis 2, they announced it. She announced that she was, you know, expecting. In theory, with Artemis 3 being, you know, probably looking at sort of late 2025, early 2026, she should be in the running for that, we hope, at least.
That would be great.
Yeah.
As we get more and more information from the James Webb Telescope, what do you think is the next area of space knowledge that we get some information that may change the way we look at things? Would it be dark matter? Where are we going to get the biggest growth in learning next?
That's really hard to say. I mean, obviously, right now we're seeing just so many more galaxies than we knew existed before. And there's been a little bit of playing around with, you know, could the age of the universe be changing? But so far, it's still holding pretty good. We'll have to wait and see on that. I do think, you know, one of the things that's coming up is, you know, starting to detect, you know, the basic compounds or elements of biology and exoplanets. I think that's going to be a big thing. If we start to discover, you know, those compounds and elements and gases in planets that are inhabitable zones. That would be a sign that there is other life out there. Now, not necessarily, you know, intelligent, but it might be that there's a sign that there's other life out there, and that would be one step closer. I think that's really, in my mind, the next big sort of thing that would really revolutionize, if you will, is sort of that idea of, you know, could we discover life out there?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it was in our own solar system, like if we, you know, if we do end up finding some of these missions to Jupiter's moons or things like that, that discover, you know, even if it's microbial life, it would show that, you know, we're not the only life out there. Because right now, you know, as it stands, Earth is the only place we know with 100% certain there's life, whether it's intelligent or not. I say sometimes remains to be seen, given some of the ways that humans are. If it is, I say that whales are more intelligent. They've been around longer and they don't create weapons capable of destroying themselves. So, but humans seem to have a little bit of a problem that way. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I think that's, you know, we keep learning more and more about, you know, how stars work, how galaxies work and things like that. But I think in terms of something that really revolutionizes or really, you know, changes sort of a next big, huge leap would be something like life elsewhere, or, you know, even if it's, again, in our own solar system or elsewhere. Now, we're not necessarily expecting to find, like I say, you know, life in our solar system probably would be microbes or things like that. Mm. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
And I did see the story a couple of days ago that astronomers have found a group of planets relatively close by, what, about 100 light years away, six planets orbiting a star, but all of them, I guess, close enough to that star that we're not likely to see any kind of life, or at least nothing inhabitable.
Yeah. I think that's one of the big issues. We keep discovering exoplanets. And right now, you know, it's interesting because starting, you know, we didn't know about exoplanets. They were theorized, of course, in science fiction until 1991 when we first discovered, you know, exoplanets and planets going around other stars. But now it's at a point where we really think that most stars probably have some type of planets. Now, the bulk that we found have been hot Jupiters or, you know, or super Earths, you know, in some cases. So really big planets. And we've only found a few what we would consider to be rocky planets that are, you know, somewhat close, you know, in a habitable zone, but those are really small in the total number. But our technology is getting better and we're seeing more and more of these things. So I think that'll be, you know, one of those big steps is to find, you know, ones that are habitable, rocky. And then, you know, if we start to detect the elements that seem to suggest that life is there, that will be a next big step, I think.
Excellent. Sean Latch, Versant Power Astronomy Center, Jordan Planetarium at the University of Maine. Great to see you as always.
Great to see you.
Hope you have a wonderful holiday season.
Yeah, you guys too. Enjoy and do get out there and look up. There's some really wonderful things to see in the cold winter night sky, but it is well worth getting out to see. Yeah.
We'll see you in the new year.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
Sean Latch with us here on Downtown. It's